Flyers Daily with Jason Mertidis.
All right, here we go. It's a brand new Flyers Daily for the 30th of July. I had to check the calendar. 2025 Flyers Daily presented by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live. We're going to hear from Porter Martone, who spoke with in a scrum at the World Junior Summer Showcase where they had a scrimmage yesterday. Saw some highlights of that on social media as well. It looked like he was moving really good out there. But he had a chance to discuss his decision to go to Michigan State, why he made the decision he made, and how the Flyers supported him in that decision. We'll get to that momentarily. Also, we're going to look at NHL head coaches, the impact that an NHL head coach has on an NHL team, what the responsibilities are, what is the impact when it comes to wins and losses, because arguably the Flyers' biggest move of the summer was the hiring of a new head coach, being Rick Tocchet. And we'll get into some ancillary stuff at the end as well. But let's start with Porter Martone. Of course, Flyers selected him in this year's NHL entry draft at number 6 overall, going best player available despite the need for high-end centers. They go to the wing. You'll see in this video, too, if you're watching on YouTube, just how big of a kid he is. I mean, he's a big boy already, and he'll reference that at Michigan State. It'll give him some time to be in the gym a little bit more. It's one of the things about college. You get a little bit more off-ice training in and build that muscle up even further. He looks like he's got an NHL body now. When he adds even more muscle, it's going to be even more beneficiary. And I imagine one of the things Flyers training staff and they'll be discussing with Michigan State as well, one of the things training will be short burst, the plyometric explosive moves to aid him with that first step, because the first step in the NHL is magnified to such a degree because you have such little time and space that short burst to create a little bit of space for yourself to be able to make a play, hang on to pucks, is going to be a big element. And that's an area where, you know, being as young as he is, he can improve. And he will improve. That'll just take a little bit of time, and he'll get that training at Michigan State, playing there, maybe for a national championship. Wouldn't it be crazy if you saw Penn State and Michigan State in a Frozen Four final? I'd enjoy that. It'd be a lot of compelling reasons to watch, for sure. Obviously, Gavin McKenna headed to Penn State, Porter Martone, Shane Van Zaghi, and some others with Michigan State. So it'll be a big, big summer for Porter Martone in a big fall. We'll be monitoring Michigan State as Flyer fans and Flyer media and keeping an eye on his progress and others throughout the season, maybe to a larger degree than normal in some ways. But let's get to Porter Martone. Here's his media availability after the summer showcase scrimmage 3-on-3 today, talking about a number of topics, including his going to be a matriculating student at Michigan State University.
It's been a crazy month for you. You go through the draft, you go through development camp, obviously a big decision for your development as well. You know, what can you take us through the decision process of choosing Michigan State and now, you know, having this new opportunity? You got Caden Lindstrom here, a ton of Spartans here at this event. So what's it been like for you so far?
Yeah, you know what, it has been crazy. You know, after I got picked, you know, went to development camp, you know, for me, yeah, I always wanted to play in the NHL next year. And, you know, after development camp, kind of sat down. And, you know, I just kind of weighed the pros and cons of everything. You know, I think going to Michigan State is kind of the next step in my hockey journey. You know, I think it's going to help me, you know, develop into, you know, a full player, you know, get some more time in the gym. You know, I really, really like the culture they have there, the coaching staff. But with that being said, it was not an easy decision to leave Brampton. You know, ever since I got traded there, you know, they've done so much for me. You know, it was like a second home to me, kind of family. So, it was probably one of the hardest decisions I had to make in my young hockey career. But, you know, for me, you know, I think I went on good terms with Brampton. And, you know, for me, it's the next step, going to Michigan State. And, you know, I'm going to go try to win a national championship.
What has Coach Nightingale kind of said to you and the relationship there and what, you know, what kind of impact you could have next year?
Yeah, you know, I think I want to go in there. You know, I think they got a really good team already. And I think I'm just going to be able to add to that. Like you said, they're back-to-back Big Ten championships. They haven't really got over the hump to, you know, win a national championship. So, you know, I want to go out there and just try to help any way I can. And, you know, I think it's going to be a really good year for my development and kind of put me into that next step to make the NHL.
Yeah, and the Flyers did say they kind of wanted to leave that decision to you. I mean, so was there any guidance from them, and what did they think once you did make that decision?
Yeah, you know what? They're very, they're going to support me either decision I made. For me, you know, obviously if I do get a chance to go into training camp and try to make the NHL, you know, they're going to support that. But at the same time, you know, I really sat down and thought, you know, with my camp and you know, I did include the Flyers as well as, you know, what's going to make me the best player 5 to 10 years down the road when the Flyers are trying to win a Stanley Cup. So I think this is going to be a big step for me. You know, it's going to be different. It's a very tough decision, you know, to leave the CHL and leave Brampton. But in the end, I think this is the next step for my hockey journey.
All right. There he is. Flyers draft pick Porter Martone. Again, the size of him is, jumps out right away. I mean, he's an 18-year-old kid, and he already is a very big boy and really handles himself with the media questions really well. Doesn't like he's searching for answers, very mature. And you get the sense that he's just speaking his truth. He's not trying to say what maybe he thinks people want to hear or anything like that. And good to hear. Flyers very supportive in his decision. If he wanted to go to training camp, it would come with some risk. He may have ended up having to go back to Brampton and play in the CHL. And I don't think that would have been the best thing for his development. So very mature decision. And the way it was handled from Porter Martone, great to see. All right. NHL coaching. I got this email a while back. I've gotten this question a few times. How much does coaching matter? Because we can look at what's going on this offseason, whether it's the drafting of Martone or Nesbitt and the guys in the second round. It could be the signing of Dvorak, Vladar, Juleson, all of the stuff that's happened with the Flyers this summer. Arguably the biggest move they've made, maybe the most consequential move, was the naming of Rick Tocchet as the next head coach. Of course, John Tortorella was relieved of his duties late in the season. Brad Shaw took over on the interim basis. He was a contender for the job, ultimately didn't get it and chose to move on, unfortunately, because he's such a really good defensive assistant coach. But I understand why. If you don't get a job, it's hard to kind of stay where you are and work for the guy that got the job you were up for. So I understand why he did what he did. So I'm not holding anything against him. But Rick Tocchet is the name on the marquee from the summer. It's the biggest move. But is it the most consequential? How much does NHL coaching matter to results in this league? How much of an impact is Rick Tocchet and his new coaching staff not only going to have on this year, but this year and beyond? Those are the things that I wonder. So I want to go back and look at Tocchet's NHL coaching record. He took over Tampa Bay in 2008-2009. They were not a good team. In 66 games that year, coached them to a 19-33 and 14 overtime loss record, 52 points. They finished fifth in the Atlantic Division. Then the next year in Tampa Bay, where he had the full 82, training camp, the whole thing, they went 34-36-12. They had 80 points. They finished third in their division. So in year two, improvement, slight, but an improvement. He led the way for John Cooper. Then in 2017-18, I mean, he had a big gap. He was an assistant coach, obviously, in Pittsburgh, where they won back-to-back cups, bopped around a little bit, and ends up behind the bench in Arizona. A much different coach, I'm sure. I'm going to ask him about this the next time. The difference between the coach that was the head coach in Tampa Bay in 08-09 and 09-10 and the coach that was the head coach at Arizona starting in 2017-18. Now, he took over Arizona that offseason, first year, 29-41-12, 70 points, last spot in their division. Second year, in 82 games, they had a big improvement, 39-35-8. They were fourth in the division. Then after that, 33-29 in 70 games. That's the COVID shortened season. And then in the 56 game year, where they had the teams in the regional divisions, I guess, whatever you call them, brackets, they went 24-26-6. Then he leaves Arizona. He goes to Vancouver, takes over for Travis Green, bad team at that time. 36 games coach, 20-12-4 is what he went. Had him surging kind of close to a playoff spot. They didn't make it. And then the following year, which was not this past season, the season prior, he takes them to a 50-23-9 record. They win the division. They get into the playoffs. They play 13 playoff games. And great year. Wheels fell off a little bit last year in 82 games, still over 500 for Vancouver. They went 38-30-14, ended up finishing fifth And now he's the head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers. So every year in year two, he took over a team, and in year two made a pretty significant jump with that team. And with Tampa, wasn't there long enough to go beyond year two, but in Arizona, sustained it for a couple of years. In Vancouver, took over a bad team, had a really good start in a short period of time, had a really good year, had a slightly down year, but still a year of 38, 30, and 14, although they missed the playoffs and things were a bit messy there. So how much does an NHL coach matter? How much will Tocchet affect the Flyers this season and beyond? So I just Googled, how much does NHL coaching matter? And there's a study done by MIT. They do these studies sometimes. They're pretty cool. You can read through them. How much do coaches matter? And they do all the math and the science and the wizardry behind it. I don't understand it. But what they basically say is that an NHL head coach is basically responsible for about 25 to 30% of a team's success. Coaching significantly impacts a team's success, influencing both player performance and overall team strategy. But some studies suggest coaches account for a smaller percentage of a team's success compared to players. And that's obvious. Coach doesn't play. But there is, in this article, a growing body of evidence highlighting the importance of coaching in areas like preparation, preparing for your opponent, getting the team prepared, in-game adjustments, you know, putting lines together, seeing when a player's got jump and getting him on the ice more, when a player doesn't have jump and limiting his ice, or having to call a timeout, whatever those things are, and player development. We think of the NHL as a finished product league. It's not. The preparation and strategy are very important for pre-scout, developing systems to mitigate the other team's top talent. You know, obviously, the setting of the lines and deciding on ice time, various in-game situations, who's the best for this particular situational period in a game. You have the in-game adjustments, which a coach has to sometimes go, well, this is what I was planning on doing. That's not working. Let's adjust. Find something that's working. They have to do that quickly and make the right decision. On player development, they're still developing at the NHL. Like we saw Travis Sanheim and Travis Konecny develop under John Tortorella in the last couple of years. And they're, when Torts got here, I think we're 25 years old. So that's a big part of it. And then coaches ultimately also can influence team chemistry by pairing players who complement each other, skills and their personalities, those kind of things. And we saw the resurrection of the locker room, or the cleaning up of the locker room for the Flyers. And that was something that when Torts was hired, he attacked immediately. Good coach, provides great leadership. He's a leader of men, can inspire players to break down walls of work ethic and discipline, and showing up the rink with a positive attitude to get to go to places maybe they can't get to on their own by challenging them. So the impact on player performance is very, very strong. And I would encourage people to Google that MIT Sloan Management example of how coaches can affect a team. Now, does hiring Rick Tocchet go, well, they hired Rick Tocchet this summer, they're a playoff team? No. Because ultimately the game is about having players. You got to have players. Because like I said before, the coach doesn't play a shift. He won't play a single shift in any of these games, despite the fact that he's probably still fit enough to do so. But how much can a team change from 1 year to the next? I've brought up this example before, and I think it's a really good one. The 2017-18 New York Islanders had a record of 35, 37, and 10. They finished seventh in the Metropolitan Division. Their head coach was Doug Waite. Their captain of that team was John Tavares. And Tavares had a great year. The Islanders decided to move on from Doug Waite in the offseason, and they decided to hire Barry Trotz. So they finished seventh with 80 points that year. The next year, they went 48, 27, and 7. They finished second in the Metropolitan Division, and they were a totally different team. Their captain was not John Tavares anymore. He decided to leave. Their best player left that offseason and went home to Toronto. Anders Lee became the captain. The big difference in why the coaching made such a big difference from Doug Waite to Barry Trotz was the system that he brought in. Barry Trotz is coming off a Stanley Cup championship with Washington Capitals, leaves after that, after winning the cup, goes to the island. The year before Barry got there under Doug Waite, the New York Islanders gave up a league-leading goals allowed in the NHL. They gave up in the 17-18 season, this is a remarkable number, 293 goals. 293 under Doug Waite with John Tavares. And basically the same two goaltenders the next year. Worst in the NHL. The next year, with that Barry Trotz structure, preaching of team defense, accountability, all of those things, and without John Tavares, they gave up 191. So they went from 293 to 191. It's a 102 goal difference, more than as a goal per game less. They went from the team that gave up the most to the team that gave up the least in a summer. And it wasn't because of the players. You could argue they were lesser of a team without John Tavares. But they had a way better record, and they gave up way less goals, more than a goal per game, 102 goals less per game, because of the system, the structure, the accountability, the preparation, all the things we just talked about, and why a head coach does matter. The leadership, the motivation, the cachet of a Stanley Cup winning coach being able to say something and have buy-in immediately because those players believe in that coach. Effective coaches have that cachet, demand that cachet. They earn that cachet. Does Rick Tocchet have that cachet? He's very well thought of in hockey circles. Maybe more well thought of than his overall record as a head coach. But players respect him because of how he played the game and how much he played the game. The fact that he's gone from an assistant that won cups in Pittsburgh and big marquee players, guys like Crosby, like Malkin, like Letang, like Quinn Hughes, and others have lauded him as a head coach. They love playing for him. Now, loving playing for a guy doesn't mean that guy can't get on the players' nerves sometimes, because he will. There'll be players that, and every head coach, it doesn't have to be a guy as demanding as John Tortorella. It can be any head coach has players that they just don't mesh with from a personality standpoint, a playing style, whatever it might be. And that happens everywhere in every team sport with a head coach. But that being said, how much can Rick Tocchet affect this team? Now, are they an improved team from the year prior, from this past season, where they, frankly, it was a pretty horrific year. I mean, you finish eighth in the division for the Flyers. You finish with 76 points, 33, 39, and 10. It was an ugly year. You end up with the sixth overall pick. You had the fourth worst record in the league. I look at Vegas odds for points for teams this coming year, the over-unders, and the Flyers are at 76.5 points over-under. Again, they had 76 last year. Now, look, we're talking about setting expectations. 76 points, 76.5 points, it better be over. Because as we talked about on Monday's episode with Bill, they're coming into this next offseason with a ton of money available. Now, you're not going to just go out and spend it like crazy just to spend it. You got to be strategic. You got to be calculated. You got to make sure you do make the right decisions with your money and long-term commitments. But you also got to be a team that's showing that they're moving in the right direction to use that money effectively, because you got to be looked at by the guys that are looking to sign with a new team like an attractive place to go beyond the travel, beyond the facilities, beyond being in the Northeast, beyond the history of the franchise. You got to be a team that moving in the right direction where they feel like they can win, because there's going to be other teams offering that money that have that. So that's why next year is a very important year to move this thing forward. You know, Sean Couturier said the other day, they're tired. He's tired of losing. There's a lot of guys there. Nobody likes to lose. But are they going to move things forward to become a team that can get in that mix with money that can go free agent shopping for the best players? Not the best players available, the best players. And next year's free agent class is a bonkers one. Kaprizov, Eichel, McDavid, and others. Look, if you're under that 76.5 point total at the end of next season, those players are going to look at you a little sideways. Got to take a step forward for that reason as well. Having money and cap space is great, but if you can only spend it on what's available to you because you couldn't get into the glamour market and the top player market because the team doesn't look promising moving forward, then that's an issue. And unrestricted free agents consider that because they're at a point in their career where they're not 22 and they see just tons of runway of NHL career in front of them, plenty of time to win. By the time players get to unrestricted free agency, if they haven't won, they're saying, I got to make the right decision here. The ultimate legacy is not how much money I made. That's a part of it. But the ultimate legacy for me as a player is, did I win? Did I get to a cup? Did I compete for a cup? That's the ultimate thing. You better show that you're on a path to doing that. You don't have to show that you're all the way there or you're one piece away, but you got to show that you're progressing in a very good direction with a good culture and a good plan moving forward. Rick Tocchet said one of the reasons why he took the job with the Flyers was because he liked their plan. He was sold on the plan. Talked about that yesterday on the Preston and Steve show on 93.3 WMMR. Well, got to sell free agents on that too. But you only get the sit down. You only get the face-to-face with the top guys if you show that step this season. How much will Rick Tocchet matter next year? That remains to be seen. We'll see. Ultimately, the players play, coaches coach. But he will be a big part of the equation, no doubt about it. And as he also said on the Preston and Steve show, people outside of Philadelphia don't understand it. Winning in this city is one of those things that it's special if you can win here. Just ask the Eagles. Ask Howie Roseman, who was one of the most criticized guys to come through Philadelphia in his first stint as a general manager. He's thought of as a weasel, as an analytics guy that would never be able to build an NFL team, great NFL team. He's become the best GM in that sport. He may be one of the best GMs in the history of Philadelphia sports. So winning here is special. We got to get back to it. All right, everybody. Great to hear from Porter Martone. We'll be back Friday. Our guest on Friday will be none other than from Ingle Magazine, the Ingle Mag podcast, the one and only Kevin Woodley. We're going to dedicate a lot of conversation to goaltending and how teams are attacking. It'll kind of go back to Rick Tocchet a little bit too, and the way you defend in today's NHL, how it's changed. It's changed again in the last two seasons. It's made a marked change. We're going to talk about that with Kevin Woodley, get some down and dirty numbers on Dan Vladar, and see if the Flyers' goaltending can provide them with enough punch to get them into the mix. It's one of the big questions, obviously, again, this offseason. We'll discuss that with Kevin Woodley coming up on Friday's episode. If anybody wants to send any, by the way, questions regarding goaltending, you can always shoot me an email, jason.mertetus, M-Y-R-T-E-T-U-S, @gmail.com. Or you can always shoot me a DM on Twitter if I can find it between all of the spam DMs that we get nowadays. We'll be fine. Or you can just tweet me as well, @jasonmert, J-A-S-O-N-M-Y-R-T. All right, everybody, have a great Wednesday and Thursday. We'll talk to you Friday on a brand new Flyers Daily.